Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, here we go. Another week. Another week down, another week started here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And the first day, well, first of all, today's kind of a sad day in a way. Like, not like truly sad, but a sad day in a way. My wife always gets sad when it's the days get shorter days, right? Josh, like yesterday, this weekend, we're the longest daylight days of the year. You know that, right? And now we're getting shorter every day.
I didn't think about this until you brought it up, and now I'm sad, so thank you.
Now you're sad, right?
Yeah,
I know. It sucks because you're like, wait a minute. But summer just started this weekend. It didn't, like, end.
Right, like the first day.
But that's what happens
Friday,
on the summer solstice. Yes, I think so, yeah. Friday into Saturday, I think, whatever time of day, whatever, how that works. But, yeah, the summer solstice is the longest day of the year. The 20th, 21st, longest day of the year, whatever it is, astronomically exactly, to the minute. And then we start to get a little bit shorter each day. So here we are on June 23rd, and we're a little bit shorter today than yesterday, and then a little bit shorter tomorrow than today. And you think about that, and you're like, oh no, that sucks. That means we're getting closer to winter. But we're not, because we're actually a whole summer still like to go. We just started summer. It's kind of weird to think about it that way. It's a little bit of a dichotomy for you. Like, days are getting shorter, but, you know, the summer is here. I mean, the summer is here. And we know that because there's no more NBA or NHL. Yesterday was the final day of the NBA season, the final night of the NBA season. The Oklahoma City Thunder win their first ever title. And, I mean, this is a really good team, young team. They could kind of be there for a while, right? Who knows? It's hard to win anyway. And much less, you know, back-to-back. We just saw a back-to-back repeat winner in the NHL with the Florida Panthers. They've gone to 3 in a row. But I would not be stunned if the Thunder come back and they're in the same spot next year, a chance to win it all. But this is a team where, Josh, do you know what their record was? Anything close to it in 2021 coming out of the COVID year?
Ooh, I mean, I know they
I guess it would be the COVID year. The COVID year, I guess.
They weren't
I guess that would,
great.
That would be the COVID year, but either way.
They were kind of like, not terrible, but not like a playoff team, though. I can't remember, but I remember like this.
No,
is...
they were terrible.
Oh, they were terrible?
They were 22-50.
Oh, wow.
They had 50 losses. Now, wait a minute. The next year, they got worse. In 21-22, coming out of the COVID year, 24-58. They had a 293 winning percentage in 21-22.
Wow.
And 3 years later, they win the NBA championship. Pretty remarkable, actually, when you think about that. I mean, that's a quick, incredible turnaround, actually, right?
And didn't they have, like, close to, like, 60 or 70 wins this year or something? Like, they had a crazy amount of wins.
68. Yep, they had 68. Were they the worst? Let me see. Were they the worst team in the league? They were not. The year they went 24-58. It's kind of funny, actually. The four worst teams that year: the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Detroit Pistons, who are, what were they this year? They were, let me just kind of check on, what was their record this year? They weren't like terrible, terrible. Right now they're over, yeah, they were over 500, 44-38. Oklahoma City Thunder, but what's crazy is you think about Oklahoma City, the only team worse than them in the West were Houston. And look where Houston is now. And then they just traded for Durant too, by the way. And you know who was worse in the East? Believe it or not, the Magic. And the Magic are a good young team. I've seen people think the Magic could actually get out of the East next year, especially after the trade they just made. Here's the point. The NBA, you turn around quick, right? Now, the Pacers have kind of been a little bit of the, in a way, the antithesis of that, because they've just kind of been consistently good. They just can't win at all. Like, they're in this boat where every year, I mean, I'm looking back, they actually did miss the playoffs for 3 years. They were 25-57. They were worse than I thought, I guess, in that 1 year as well. But the Pacers, though, they did miss the playoffs for 3 years, but generally they're a team that's making the playoffs. They win maybe a series. They got to the finals this year, conference finals last year. So I guess they had a nice turnaround as well. But if you're thinking, I'm thinking of a parallel to the NHL, right? Where it doesn't seem as easy in the NHL. You kind of have the same group of teams. But it can happen. And here we are sitting this week, draft week, for the National Hockey League. When does the draft actually start? It is Friday night, correct? Friday night is round one of the NHL draft this week. I want to make sure I get this right so we know exactly when this starts. I think that's correct, right? Josh, when is it? Is it Friday night? Do you know what time it is Friday night? What time the NHL draft
is? I think seven. 7 or 8 usually is when it starts, and it's a decentralized draft this year too, so everyone's going to be in their own places. We're going to get to see some draft rooms.
Yeah, and that'll be cool, and obviously the Sabres are using the Bills draft room.
It is 7, Sal.
It is 7 o'clock, thank you. So it is Friday night, though. Friday night at 7, right? So the NHL has gone also to this model of making sure that, you know, they kind of maximize on viewership, listenership, whatever, however you want to say it. Kind of like the NFL has done. But here you are in the NHL with what I think is a harder sport, it seems like, at least, you know, anecdotally, to kind of turn around. But it can't happen. I mean, who's the team in hockey that's kind of, ooh, let's do this, Josh. Let's go through the NHL real quick, the last couple years. Who's a team that was just absolutely terrible not too long ago, but is actually pretty good right now? Can you think of one?
It was a little longer ago than 3 years, but the New York Rangers had like a quick turnaround. But they're not necessarily like.
But they weren't down for super long, right?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Is like they were down for like 2 years. They had Kaapo Kakko second overall, and then they got Alexis Lafreniere the next year at first overall.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're just back into cup contention, or well, playoff contention. And that's like the one team that sticks out to me in recent years. I mean, Florida kind of sort of comes out of nowhere, but at the same time they were still like playoff contenders before the last three cup runs.
You know who was really, really bad, but they got pretty decent this year, but they still aren't great, is Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa was kind of a surprise this year too. That was like the Sabres, the Senators, and the Red Wings have been three teams where every year it's like, okay, but this is the step, this is going to be the year where they take a step, and the Senators finally did it. Even the Red Wings kind of did it a little bit too, but I think Ottawa might have, you could say, they did it better. But
if you look at Ottawa, though, they had, here's their win totals going back to 17-18 in their consecutive win totals. Ready? 28, 29, 25, 23. And then they started building 33, 39, 37, 45 this year.
Yeah, I think
so they started building it up a little bit.
I think Ottawa's the right choice where in terms of the direction they're going, but it's still not as drastic as the Thunder. Like the Thunder were like we were just saying, like they were winning 20 games a year and now they're NBA champions and won 68 games this year in the regular season. Like it's crazy to see that kind of turnaround, but it's also, I think, the size of the team is what matters here too. Like your bench is so much smaller, like your roster itself is so much smaller. The draft is only 2 rounds.
Yeah.
So it makes everything so much more important and in terms of the drafting and the type of players you're picking. And I think that they're just built the right way to win in the way the NBA is set up nowadays, like which is interesting because it doesn't seem like they have those types of players when you look at them on paper. But in the game, you know, Shea Gildas-Alexander proved why he won MVP of the league last night because he was the MVP of the entire playoffs. Like that was just his style of play. Like, you know, teams couldn't combat it. And, you know, I know it's been kind of talked about a lot on Twitter because of the way he's, you know, maybe pushing off of guys to get those fouls and whatnot. But if he's winning games, then he's winning games, right? Like that's all that matters.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny. We're doing this exercise, and I'm looking at it going, it really is hard in the NHL to kind of have that quick turnaround. You have the same group of teams almost every year. And it doesn't mean that they always get to the cup finals, but it's always the same teams in the mix getting to the playoffs and fighting, right? The Capitals, the Hurricanes. Aren't the Hurricanes the Pacers kind of in this regard, right?
Yes.
It seems like.
Yeah.
Right?
They get there and then they just kind of fall apart.
Yeah, well, that fall apart, right? Like, they're just a good team. Always like, oh, and again, I know the Pacers weren't there for a few years, but they seem like they're just always in the mix and they can't get over the hump. The Devils, the Maple
That's
Leafs,
also the Leafs kind of
Lightning.
Too. The Leafs and Pacers could
the Leafs?
Be kind of...
Oh, I mean, the Leafs, well, the Leafs are more like the Bills. Like, they're really right, good. Yeah. And they can't, you know, get all the way to where their ultimate goal is. In the West, it's really been the same. It's been the Jets, the Stars, the Avs, the Knights, the Oilers. I mean, the Kings, every so often here, I think they've been pretty good. But yeah, it's really hard. So this is the week where you got to kind of lay that groundwork for the Sabres. I think what we all look at with the Sabres is it's not just like, okay, there's some building blocks and steps here. Like, we've been through that. I think what's frustrating with the Sabres when you take all this in totality is it should have happened by now. I think that's the frustrating part. Not that it's not happening. It should have happened by now. Like, where you've been in this mode of and mold of having this team that was rebuilding and they got a rebuild and then they didn't get there. And then they kind of had to do it again. And they didn't get there. And it's not just a, okay, we know that it's hard to do in the NHL and you have to be kind of a little more patient in the NHL, I think, generally than you do in the NBA. But it's the frustration of how did you not already get there, though? You should have, given some of the talent you have and some of the guys that have walked out the door, you've traded or things like that. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, this is another big week for that, because as much as you want to say, oh, it takes a long time and we just went over it. It's been a long time. It's not that it takes long. It's not from here out. This is not the starting. We're not the starting point this week. Like, this week should be the actual, like, part of the ending point, because this year should be the ending point. Last year should have been, the year before should have been, whatever you want to call it. That's what's frustrating. Now, it also goes back to what I said last week when the Panthers won. Panthers win the Stanley Cup, and I'm watching Sam Bennett put that thing over his head, and I'm thinking, boy, Sam Bennett's been in this league 11 years. He's still only 28. Like, it takes a while in the NHL. Yeah, age-wise, he's still young, air quotes, but like he's a vet. He's been 11 years in this league. It's unbelievable to think about that, right? Like, it takes a while. And that's what, you know, you look at the Sabres roster, they need to get older. They need to get a little better. They need more veterans. They need guys with a little more, what do you want to call it? Well, they need guys with grit. I'm not talking about running around and punching people in the face. I'm talking about guys who've kind of been through some wars and battles. I do think, though, and I've always said this, I think one thing that like really holds the Sabres back, obviously for reasons of their own doing. Okay, I get that. But it's just a simple rule of having, you know, no movement clauses in this league and no trade clauses in this league. And I think that they get kind of handed out like candy. I don't love them. I understand that, you know, players should have, and I'm, you know, pro player and having their own, you know, ability for their careers to do things. But no movement clause, clauses and no trade clauses in the NHL. They've kind of just, that's a big reason why they've also kind of ruined the whole point of this and the way to do it. You're so limited. The Sabres, what, there was a, last year, Kevin Adams, well, we had a deal for someone. It fell through. Like, yeah, because if a guy doesn't want to come to Buffalo, and yeah, that's your own doing. I get it. You got to fix it internally. It's hard to do. Or find somebody that has no choice but to come to you if you do trade for him. So we'll see what happens this week. The NHL draft is Friday night. What do you want to see from the Sabres this week? What do you want to see? Because the reason I bring that up is this week is a big week for movement. We've been hearing a lot of rumors about J.J. Paterka going back, really at the trade deadline, and they still continue. And I don't really know what the Sabres are going to do with J.J. Paterka. I don't want the Sabres to trade J.J. Paterka. I'm also not completely beholden to who's on this roster, considering what's been happening and where this team is, because if you can go out and get good NHL players, then go do it. What I don't want from the Sabres, and I've said this time and time again, and I'm still holding this, is for them to tell us to go draft a number 9 overall pick, hold it up and say, all right, here we go. This is another, you know, guy that's going to help us in our future 3 years from now. Great. You want to pick a really nice player? That's fine. I don't care about 3 years from now anymore. Like, that's for all of us. It's just, that's where we've been. That's what I don't need from this team. And so what do you need? What do you want to see? Do you want to see them make a move for a goalie this week? Do you want to see them trade J.J. Paterka and get something of real value, you think, for him because of his situation and what he might command? Do you want to see them not trade J.J. Paterka and sign him to an extension? He can do that after July 1st, obviously, or I think can restrict his also after the first. They have to qualify him first, but I think that's how you go and do it, because I know that's the case with pending unrestricted free agents next year. Is that what you want to see? What do you want to see from them? What do you need to see from them? The guys were talking this morning about goaltender. Oh, man, like, I really do believe Devon Levi is going to be good. I'm holding on to that. I am. I also understand the point of that he's young. He still needs another year, maybe. But how do you do that when UPL just had his own issues last year that we saw? What, I kind of want to see a Bo Byram trade, because it just feels like you're going to get something for him that can help you. And that's just a situation where, even though he's not like hating the organization, he's not super happy with his role. So you might as well do something now instead of paying him. Like, I kind of want to see that. I like Bo Byram. He's a good player. But that just seems like the situation and the kind of situation where you do need to do something and move on. 803-0550. What do you want to see from the Sabres this week? Also, here's a question for you. How are you spending your summer sports watching? Because, and you can chime in on this one on Twitter if you want, @SalSports on Twitter. How are you spending your summer sports watching? Do you just like shut it down like, I don't really care, I just want to go out? Or is it like all baseball? Are there other sports, WNBA, whatever it is for you, golf, that you watch? Like, what? How do you spend that? You go back and rewatch Bills games from years ago? I don't know. Maybe you do. I've done that. Quite a few times, actually, but it's not like I spend every night doing it now that the NHL and NBA are over. Speaking of summer sports watching, Yankees, Orioles this past weekend. We're going to talk with Sal Majerana on what he saw yesterday. I don't know. I have to see if he's still in New York, but he was at the game yesterday, an 11:30 a.m. start for the Yankees and Orioles yesterday. It was a Roku TV game. I was at the game Friday night, went to Yankee Stadium Friday night. Saw the Yankees play the Orioles, the only game of the weekend they lost, of course. Did not go to the game on Saturday, had a chance to, didn't go, and almost missed a no-hitter. I did not miss the no-hitter because they didn't throw a no-hitter. Got Sal coming your way at 10:30. We'll talk with him. And then Paul Hamilton on the start of draft week for the Sabres and the NHL at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I have gone this whole time without mentioning what happened last night, obviously. Tyrese Haliburton, just absolutely brutal, devastating. You hate to see that. You've seen it too many times. These Achilles injuries are just brutal for these athletes, and we've seen too many really star players with them more recently. Used to be a lot of the ACL was the big one back, you know, for many years, and they still have those, but it just seems like too many Achilles injuries and a lot of them. And what happened last night to Haliburton in that situation and that game for that player is just devastating. It was terrible. Hated to see that. 803-0550, the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Dave in Buffalo's up first. Hi, Dave. You're on WGR.
thanks, Al, for taking my call. It seemed to me, you know, fairly clear what I would do. Well, one thing is clear is that I don't really know anything. I'm just a fan. So if I was really good at this, then I'd go and make money and work at it. But, you know, everybody has an opinion, so...
I make money. I work at it. I'm not really good at it, but I do make money doing it. So I'm kind of faking it all these years, Dave. You got it, buddy. Go ahead.
But that being said, what I would do if I was the king, I think this team needs leadership. They don't need great players. They just need leadership to make the players that are there now better. Paterka is a great player. Paterka is a good player, actually, and has a potential to be a great player. But I'd be happy to trade Paterka and get a player who I know is good right now, who can really be a leader in this team. To me, I think it starts with Lindy Ruff, who did a good job, I think, of really emphasizing accountability. He said players really need to be accountable to themselves. What do you have to do as a player to make yourself better? But I also think Lindy didn't do the job in that he didn't make the players accountable to each other, that he didn't really set up a situation where there was internal pressure in the team where they were requiring their other teammates to step up and do the job. And the ones who did the job would be great, and the ones who didn't do the job, well, that just happens. So what I'd really be looking for is to trade Paterka to get a good player. Actually, quite frankly, I think they need two players who are, they're older. They're never going to be great, but they're good right now. So I'm interested in moving even my draft pick and Paterka to get me two players who are good and who won't be great, who can really increase leadership on this team. And I want Lindy to step up and probably to sit down with Dahlin, sit down with Tage Thompson, probably sit down with Tuck, and to say, are you guys in or are you guys out? If you're in, then you need to really demand better production from your fellow teammates, and you need to produce yourself to make that demand. So leadership is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Good call. And I would say the only issue is, and I don't disagree, the leadership is great, and you're 100% right. The only issue is, what, going back to what I said, these no-movement clauses, these no-trade clauses, those kinds of players, they'll have them. Do they want to come to a team like Buffalo? I think you'd have to really target a player who's already won a cup, who believes that he can be the agent of change, and pay him, right? I think that's what you'd have to do. As Jamie tweets in, at Sal Sports, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com, says, don't you think hockey has gone the way of baseball with only a few teams having a real shot to win it all? Guys only want to play for Florida teams, Vegas, and the Rangers. Well, I don't agree with just those teams, but yes, it seems like only a handful of teams have a chance because of these no movement and no trade clauses, which Jamie also chimed in on. I agree with that. But thanks, Dave, for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Denver. Hi, Mike.
Yes. I guess when it comes to the Sabres, I really wish that they would just go with some players. And whether this is, I guess it's going to mostly have to come through trades, where they just go for a more of a grittier type player. The problem I've had with the Sabres over, the last 7-8 years, if not longer, is that they've, and I realize the game has changed, and you're not looking for fighters, obviously, because the game isn't about that anymore. But at the same time, you have to, I don't know what it is, the mindset, or, even some of their draft choices, if you go through the last 3 or 4 years, they've all been smaller players. And I think they need to get more size and more grit. So if it was up to me, I would definitely go for size, and I would go for some players that have some grit. And when it comes to players like Jack Quinn and Owen Power, Owen Power's got decent size, but you would never know it. He could skate with a carton of eggs under his uniform. Not one of them would be broke at the end of the game. So, I just need some grit and some size on this team.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. I don't think many people disagree with that take. Like, that's what they need. I mean, Owen Power should be a more physical player than he is. You're not going to get an argument from me. I'll also go back to, has he grown into his man's body yet, right? I know that sounds funny to say, but I'm looking at these guys who are winning. And yes, you can have a really younger player who can be like that, but I'm watching some of these guys skate around with the cup and going, man, like, that guy's been in the league a while, and he's finally arrived, right? Like, it takes a while. Just, I don't disagree with the point, though, and that is what they need. Joe in North Tonawanda. Hi, Joe.
right, Sal. Great job as always, buddy.
Thank you.
You know what? Unfortunately, I'm to the point with the Sabres. I have no expectations, and I really don't care. But listening to you, since you asked the question, I think Buffalo is a hard sell. With, if I'm not mistaken, Lindy's got 1 year left. Lame duck coach. A GM that should have been fired. So why would a player want to come here? Secondly, do we want the GM that hasn't done anything in 6 years to be making decisions on your valuable assets again? I'm just baffled by this team and ownership. And it's just, you know, I'm just to the point, Sal, beginning of the season, I have no expectations anymore. Used to be, oh, this might be the year. Now, I doubt it every year.
Yeah, well, listen, Joe, I mean, the issue is, as you know, you're not changing the GM now. That would have happened a month ago, right? You're not you're not changing the head coach now, not that you're suggesting it is. And yes, I mean, Lindy's getting older. I think that could have been a thought if they had made the playoffs. I think the big, as Paul has said before, I think that, you know, maybe that was in the cards for Lindy, but he wants to fix this. He really, truly wants to get this team back in the playoffs. I think it's going to be his kind of his moment, you know, to kind of walk away and say, okay, now I finally got them better and where they needed to be a little bit, and we'll see. But the overall sentiment of the frustration I hear, Joe, and I understand that, but you're not going to change the GM now. We know that. Like, that, the time for that was a month ago. So what do you do now? That's the question. 803-0550. What do you want to see from the Sabres this week? And what I mean by that is this week. Like, you're not firing the GM this week, okay? You're not moving on from the head coach this week. You're not selling the team. What do you want to see on the ice? Roster moves. What do you want to see at the before the draft on Friday night? Or on Friday night at the draft? Lots of rumors out there. I mean, there's one this weekend about Matias Samuelsson and a possible buyout. Great, okay. Like, if for the numbers I saw for the buyout, like, I had high hopes for Matias Samuelsson. He cannot stay healthy, it seems like. And he's not the player they thought he was going to be when they paid him. So if you can buy him out for the minimal cost that looked like they can buy him out, fine. If you want to trade him, someone to take that contract, you get an asset back, okay. Like, I'm fine with that. Is that something you want to see? 803-0550 is the number to call. All right, we have coming up next, Sal Marana. I'm hoping a bit of a different tone from my fellow Sal from last week after the Yankees just got annihilated basically by the Red Sox, but then they did go on to lose another three in a row to the Angels before winning three of their last four, including yesterday against the Orioles. Of course, more baseball as well, not just the Yankees. We'll talk baseball with Sal after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Devers says after the game, that meant a lot. Well, who he hit it for and who he hit it against. Meaning on both sides of the swing.
Yeah, that is Rafael Devers. And hitting a home run against his former team, the Boston Red Sox. And you know, you just knew that was going to happen right after he was traded. And they had a series coming up between the two teams. So not a good weekend to see that if you're a Red Sox fan. Wasn't the best of starts of the weekend for the New York Yankees. They lose to the Baltimore Orioles after losing six in a row and then finally beating the Angels last week on Thursday. And then they bounce back with a couple of wins over the weekend. Sal Majorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He was at the game yesterday. Are you still in New York City or are you back?
No, I am back. I drove back from Poughkeepsie where my son lives last night. Okay. So, yeah, I got back about 10 o'clock, long day. But ultimately, it was a fun day. What game did you go to?
You're not going to believe it. I went to Friday night, and I had a chance to go Saturday, but we went to Fanatics Fest instead. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm following on my phone. And it was one of those deals where I'm so happy the Yankees are winning, and oh, my God, they're throwing a no-hitter, but I can't believe I didn't go to this game. You know what I mean?
I had the same thought. I picked the 11:30 game on Sunday because it was just going to be more convenient because I knew I was driving home. We took the train from Poughkeepsie, where my son lives, and got the train back. And then I had to drive all the way home from Poughkeepsie. So I said, Saturday or Sunday, I'll take Sunday because it's earlier. So we're sitting there yesterday, roasting in the heat there, and watching a game that just wasn't very good for seven innings. And I was kind of like, you know, aggravated that I hadn't gone the day before because so much cool stuff happened. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the game yesterday turned out well. It was, the eighth inning was really dramatic, both the top half and the bottom half, and we walked out of there happy campers. So it was a good overall weekend for the Yankees.
And then they win three out of four after six straight. I mean, teams do go in these funks. We saw the Mets lose seven straight. How confident can we be as Yankee fans that maybe kind of that's put to bed and they kind of got that out of their system and maybe they can, you know, get back to playing baseball the way they should?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, Sal. I mean, you and I both know, everybody knows it's a long, long season, and you're going to have weeks like this. You know, the NFL, you have a couple games like this, and your season is in peril, and that's not the case in baseball. Yeah. So they've got to get some things figured out. The offense was just putrid there for whatever it was, five or six games in a row. They, you know, they started to come out of it a little bit on Friday night when you were there. It was a little bit better, but they went silent for, what, the last six innings, I think. And then obviously Saturday was great. They hit the ball really well. And yesterday, they had men on base yesterday. It was frustrating because they had some great chances to score and really didn't until the eighth inning. So, you know, I think they'll come back around. I think the biggest concern right now is, once again, the starting rotation. Now they lose Yarbrough. So, yeah, it's just one after another with these guys. So we'll see. But, yeah, it was nice to see them get off the deck after that six-game losing streak, which, quite frankly, Sal, that was some of the worst baseball they've played in a long time. That was just brutal.
Speaking of starting pitching, how about Clark Schmidt? How about that outing? And what did you think at the time when he's got, what, 96 pitches? I mean, I was following on my phone. We were walking around, and we were in, I think we were down in actually Greenwich Village. Kind of, we went down there, walked around a little bit. I'm watching on my phone and going, man, what is Boone going to do here? And he takes him out. What did you think about the way he's pitched and that particular situation?
Yeah, as far as how he's pitched, he's been really good. I mean, you know, the problem with him throughout his whole career is that, you know, the stuff is there, both not only the fastball, but he's got really sharp breaking stuff. That knuckle curve is really effective for him. But his problem has always been he gets ahead of guys and then he starts nibbling. And then the counts get longer and there's foul balls and his pitch count always rises. And that's exactly what bit him on Saturday. I mean, he pitched great, but he ended up at 103 pitches And, you know, as much as it sucks that today these managers are not going to let a pitcher go for a no-hitter in that situation, you know, it does suck. But I understand what Boone is thinking there. 103, there's no way he was going to finish that game. And also, it came out after that. Schmidt even admitted he was kind of emptying the tank there in the seventh inning because he knew that he wasn't going to probably go on, and he was getting tired. So I had no problem with Boone pulling him. I don't want to see the guy get hurt, Sal. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but they don't need another injury, and he's never been a guy who's gone much more than 100 pitches. So I was fine with the decision.
And then the Mets, I mean, we're in New York. You're in New York this weekend. I was there this weekend. And, of course, you know, they're also a big talk of the town right now because they had a 7-game losing streak themselves. They finally snap out of it. Soto has a couple home runs. Then they lose again. What do you make of the Mets right now and what they're going through?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to the Yankees, Sal. I mean, they got off to a great start. They were doing everything really well. And they just kind of hit a lull here. Now, the difference with the Mets, I think, let's face it, the Yankees slump. It was against the Angels, who I think are, you know, pretty mediocre, and then the Orioles, who have just not been very good at all. The Mets did play two tough teams. Now, I know Atlanta is having a tough season, but that's still a talented team that has always had the Mets' number. So that was a tough series. And then they had the Phillies this weekend, who are a really good team, and they're now in first place. So that was a little bit different, their slump. But, you know, they're going to come out of it. That's a good team. They've got some pitching problems in their rotation, too, that they're going to have to figure out. You know, and then the big move this weekend was they sent down Francisco Alvarez. Now, he was supposed to be, you know, their catcher for the next 15 years, and he has just been off to a terror. I mean, he missed time with an injury, but he's been terrible all year. So he's going to be down in Syracuse. I might get to see him play pretty soon. I think they're due to play in Rochester coming up here. But that was the big news, I thought, of New York was them sending him down.
And then, of course, you have the Red Sox and the Devers situation. We just played the clip for you. Come on, Sal. We all knew that Rafael Devers was going to hit a home run against the Red Sox, right? It just kind of was a bit of a fait accompli once he was traded there.
Yeah, absolutely. The timing of that trade was really interesting because they obviously, like you said, a week later, they're playing each other. So that was nice. It was also nice. The Giants did us a favor and won. I think they took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. So that was good, but he's a great hitter. I mean, he's probably not going to hit as many home runs at that place because it is a tough ballpark to hit home runs, but he's a gap guy too. He's going to be hitting doubles all over that stadium in the future for the Giants. So you and I are thrilled that he's out there because he tortured the Yankees for 7 years. So I'm glad he's far, far away. In fact, they've already played the Giants this year, so we're not even going to see him again. So, I'm glad he's gone for sure.
Sal Mayorana here on the West Her Hotline. You can subscribe to his very, very, very free and awesome Pinstripe People newsletter. Go to his Twitter page, at Sal Mayorana. I'll retweet it out for everybody, as I often do, and you can sign up for it. It's absolutely free. Puts a lot into it. Keeps you updated on the Yankees. Lots of cool stories looking back to the Yankees of years past and, of course, what's happening these days. It's called Pinstripe People. Make sure you check it out from Sal Mayorana. All right, Sal, Shohei Ohtani back on the mound. And, of course, right? Gets a strikeout, 5 RBIs hitting. I mean, this guy is unbelievable what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he is a unicorn. I mean, I know it's an overused term, but it's absolutely the case with him. You know, they're going to work him slowly back into the pitching aspect of it. I don't think you're going to see him going, you know, 4 or 5 innings for a little while, I would think. They need to protect him and make sure he's good to go later because we complain about injuries to pitchers in the Yankees world. Man, Sal, that team, the Dodgers, every year they go through, it seems like, 25 pitchers. They've got half their rosters on the injured list, so they don't want to mess around with Ohtani. Right now he's filling in, which is good for them. You know, and clearly he made the decision, too. He told them, basically, why am I pitching simulated games? Why don't I just pitch in the game? I'm doing the same thing. Just give me an inning or two at, you know, in a real game, which would help the pitching staff. So that's what they've done there. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to see any complete games out of Shohei Ohtani anytime soon.
I'm sure we'll talk, you know, more maybe next week about this because it's not for a few more weeks. But All-Star Game is coming up July 15th. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the All-Star game anymore. It was great when I was a kid, watching all the guys in their different uniforms, and it kind of meant something a little bit, like to see your players out there. Then it didn't mean anything, and they went to that stupid thing where you get the home field advantage. How do you consume the All-Star game these days?
I don't even watch it, Sal. That's 3 or 4 days off of baseball for me, because, you know, you and I both watch the game pretty closely, and that's a nice little respite from baseball. Who cares? I mean, now that there's interleague play, you know, it used to be AL versus NL. These guys didn't see each other, and there was some pride involved back in the, you know, in the 60s and then in the 70s when I was growing up. There was a lot of pride in that game, and these guys played hard. You know, and it wasn't everybody gets a trophy, you know. The guys who earned the starting nods, they played most of the game. So it was a big deal then. Now it's ridiculous. Just like the Pro Bowl, it's kind of a dumb thing. All All-Star games in general, to me, are a complete waste of time, Sal. So as much as I love baseball, I don't even watch that game.
What about the skills competitions that go along with it, Home Run Derby?
Yeah. Like I said, that's 3 or 4 days off for me. I don't even pay attention to any of it. It just doesn't interest me. You know, I'm kind of a hardcore. The games matter when they're playing real games. I don't care about all this other stuff. But that's just me. I know kids love the Home Run Derby. I mean, I'm sure your son loves watching those guys crank, you know, a million home runs. So I get why they do it. And, you know, the sad part is, that's probably – ESPN probably gets higher ratings for the Home Run Derby than they get for some of their regular season broadcasts on Sunday night.
Yeah, by the way, and this is their last year, ESPN, carrying Sunday Night Baseball, right? I don't think they have it anymore.
I'm interested to see where that goes, Sal, because, you know, ESPN used to really have a huge stake in baseball, and I think it's still still MLB's best venue. I mean, you know, they are the sports leader. Something's got to get worked out there, I would think, and I hope.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see about that. Obviously, like TNT losing the NBA, it's a very, very big deal. That's going over to ESPN, and now ESPN maybe losing Major League Baseball. So I was there Friday. You were there Sunday. I know you go there probably every year at least. What do you think of Yankee Stadium? Do you like Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not, obviously, it's not the old place. There was just a feel in that place that was unmatched. And now it's just another modern big league stadium. But what is really cool about Yankee Stadium, and I just, you know, my son and I were talking about this at the game because he just went to Fenway a couple weeks ago for the first time. Okay. He just did a day trip over there. And the difference is Fenway is such a cool little unique place. But Yankee Stadium, like we're walking in there, I get off the train and you walk in the front gate there, and it's just massive, right? It's just this massive arena that makes it so different than like a place like Fenway Park, for instance. So that makes it cool. But once you're inside, Sal, you know, it looks like most other new baseball stadiums, advertising everywhere and huge scoreboards. It really isn't unique like the old place was. So I understand progress. You got to do it. And I'm fine with it. It's a beautiful stadium and plenty of good seats, but our seats were great. We were on the third base line, 20 rows up, beautiful seats. So I love the place, but it does not replicate what the old place was.
All right, Sal, before I let you go, let's preview the week here. The Yanks get going tonight in Cincinnati, 7-10 against the Reds, 3 straight 7-10 games. Then it's a day off. Then the A's come to New York. Some opportunity here for the Yankees to get back on track how they had been playing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Cincinnati's been kind of a 500 team all season long. It's going to be interesting because tonight Yarborough was supposed to pitch, and now he's out. So they've called up this kid, Alan Winans, who, you know, has only pitched about maybe 7 or 8 major league games. So that's going to be interesting. And then on Tuesday, the Yankees are going to be facing the Reds' top prospect. They just called up this kid named Chase Burns, who was the 2nd overall pick in the draft last year. So they're pretty excited in Cincinnati about him. So the Yankees are going to see him in the Tuesday night game. So that should be something to watch. And, you know, the Yankees, they always seem to struggle when they see a guy the first time. For whatever reason, they have that issue. But, yeah, a couple interesting things to watch on the pitching side those first two games this week.
Did I read that is today the groundbreaking for Las Vegas to for their park where the A's will play? I think it is.
I heard that was happening. I don't know if it's exactly, maybe it is today. The funny thing is they still don't have the financing figured out, Sal. I mean, they're going to break ground. I don't think anything has been finalized on the financing for the place. So that's pretty interesting too. That might end up being a big hole in the ground someday.
It's right. I saw a picture where it is, and if you're familiar with Vegas, it's right behind like MGM Grand, right there. I'm reading here today. Las Vegas Review Journal writes athletics to host Las Vegas ballpark groundbreaking ceremony. So they're all in it. Like, let's go. We want to do this. Get the darn financing right. You're right about that. But yeah, eventually it's going to be the A's playing in Las Vegas, and I guess they'll just keep the name Las Vegas Athletics. Are they gonna? Do we know that for sure?
I think they're going to remain the Athletics. They took the name with them. For whatever reason, they can't be called Sacramento right now, which is so stupid. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about what they're going to build there. I assume it has to be a dome stadium because there's no way they can play baseball in the summer outside. So I don't know exactly what they're looking for there. But maybe it's a retractable. I don't even know. But I'll believe it when I see it, Sal. I really do, because that whole situation has been handled so poorly by the A's and everybody, I guess. You know, it's just a mess there. I will not believe they're going to be playing in Las Vegas until I actually see it 3 or 4 years from now.
I just retweeted Sal's tweet about his newsletter. You can check it out. It is absolutely free, and it's amazing and awesome if you're a Yankees fan or just a baseball fan, because he puts so much into it. Really awesome stuff. Sal, thanks a lot. Have a great week. We'll talk on Tuesday next week. I'm off on Monday, but I want to keep talking with you, so we'll do on Tuesday next week. All right, buddy?
Tuesday works, Sal. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Right, you got it. That is Sal Majorana. You can follow him on Twitter, at Sal Majorana, of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He's written books. He's a big baseball fan. He covers the Bills, obviously, Rochester sports. Check out his free Yankees newsletter. I just retweeted it as well. Pinstripe People is the name. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Got to tell you a little bit about my weekend on top of the Yankees game. Went to Fanatics Fest on Saturday, and I think you're going to be very, very interested in something I saw Buffalo Bills related. All right, so over the weekend, on Saturday, I went to Fanatics Fest in New York City. It was amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. It was just card dealers everywhere. I think I've said on this program, my son is 11. He's super into card collecting, like really into it. I think he wants to open his own card shop someday. Like really, he's into it. He's passionate about it. He marks prices and goes to shows, and he buys and sells and trades and makes some money, and it's really cool. Really cool to see that. So I've gotten back into the hobby a little bit with him, not to the level of him, because I collected when I was a kid, like his age. But then you had the junk wax era in, you know, late 80s, early 90s. I have so many cards from that era, but it's way different now. Anyway, that was a big part of it. But also, they just had incredible events and exhibits and everything going on, and all these autographs and photo ops, and it was just amazing. It was at the Javits Center in New York City. An incredible weekend. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos out there, some of the different people, the celebrities and the media that were on hand. And, you know, Tom Brady won the Fanatics games or something, right? I'm watching. He's on stage with him and Kevin Hart doing something. I'm literally like 50 feet away. Like, this is crazy. LeBron James, Kevin Durant got told he was traded while he was there. It's insane. Anyway, so the other part about it is you just get fans, and it is in New York City, but you get fans of all these teams and people who just showing off their jerseys. It's like going to some, it's a big convention for sports fans, right? And I got to tell you, no lie, Josh, I think, I didn't count for sure because there's thousands of people there. I would say the number one single athlete jersey I saw people wear was Josh Allen.
Really?
That's, it was incredible.
That's kind of surprising. Like out of everything that was there.
Yep.
Wow.
I'm telling you, and if you were there, if anybody listening was there, I think you could probably collaborate that with me and confirm that. Now, I noticed them. I will say that. I did notice when there was a Bills jersey and Allen jersey, but there were a ton of them. There were lots of Bills jerseys. There was a Thurman Thomas jersey I saw. There was a DeMar Hamlin. There were, and DeMar was there, by the way, too. And here's the other thing. Yes, there were a lot of Giants jerseys. Now, Giants and Bills do look similar, but you know, if it's a 56, it's a Giants, right? Lawrence Taylor. If it's a 17, it's a Bills. There were a lot of Giants fans. It's New York. There really weren't a lot of Jets, really honest with you. A lot of Yankees, of course. I mean, the Yankees might have been more than anything because it's Yankees and it's New York City. But for football, it was definitely, I would say, Allen was number one. But here's the other part of this, Josh. It was Bills, and do you want to guess what other team I saw probably the most. I think the Bills and this other team had the most overall jerseys I saw from people wearing gear.
And it was another NFL team, or was it?
Yes.
Okay.
From NFL. I'm saying Yankees might have been more than anyone, right? I mean, it's a Yankees home weekend, so people were there anyway, like me. I get that part of it. But I mean, from the NFL, Josh Allen was number one jersey, I think, from what I saw for a player. Bills and what team do you think were the number one teams?
I'm going to go with Eagles.
Great guess. A lot of Eagles, but no. Another team that wears green.
Packers? Not the Jets.
Yes.
Really?
Bills and Packers. Very well represented.
That's odd. I mean, the Bills kind of make sense, but like the Packers.
I think here's part of my thought might have been maybe because Green Bay and Buffalo are very similar of, you know, the types of cities they are with. They're not as many pro sports teams. Maybe people are way more into the collecting things and the memorabilia. You know what I mean?
Because that's what this was about. Team.
Yeah, right. Does that make sense? Yeah. What I'm saying? I thought about that. I'm like, why would like Bills and Packers? Bills, yeah, it's New York. I get it, but you are 6 hours away on a drive. Packers. I bet you these two sports cities and towns are very much more into that type of thing than a lot of them. That's what I think.
I wonder if there was any small group that was Packers, Rodgers jerseys that were also Jets fans. Which would just, that'd be the icing or the cherry on top.
I saw a few Jordan Love jerseys, but a lot of Packers gear. I do believe there was more Bills gear than any other NFL team that I saw, and there were definitely more Josh Allen jerseys than any other athlete that I saw. Incredible. It really was. And it was like tens of thousands of people there. I don't want to say thousands. It was incredible, insane. And it was amazing, and I really want to go back next year, and hopefully the days and the weekend work out for that. All right, what do you want to see from the Sabres this week? What are they going to do this week? Paul Hamilton up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul, yesterday I played in a bocce tournament. Have you ever played in a bocce tournament?
I hadn't. I saw you guys did. I commented and said, "Who's going to teach me how to play the bocce?"
Yes,
I have no clue.
So growing up, my dad and his brothers would play bocce, and they would like my uncle Mario had this house with this really big yard in Depew, and they would go all around the yard playing bocce, and I kind of watched bocce, and you know, it was fun kind of watching it and playing with them growing up, but I haven't played at all in years. This was different. This is part of Harrison Phillips Playmakers. He was back in town. Elio DiPaolo Scholarship Fund. It was all really cool. And it was out at Woodlawn Beach. This was sand bocce. So literally they had this like this box. You had to throw the Pacini ball in there, and then you had to just kind of throw your ball and have it, you know, get as close. It's kind of like horseshoes. Or it's like cornhole, where you get 1 point or, you know, whoever's closer. Anyway, Paul, there were some really serious bocce players there, man. Some of these people took their sand bocce really seriously, buddy.
Did you win?
We didn't. We went 2-2. We did okay, though. We did okay. We went 2-2. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, and while we were there, there was music playing, and I heard ABBA a couple times, and I kept thinking about you, and I'm like, wait a minute. Paul Hamilton would like to be here and play bocce. That would be like a dream, just playing sand bocce and listening to ABBA, right? It was a great time, but yeah, it was really cool. It was a fun experience. We got to do that. And then on Friday night, we went to Yankee Stadium, as I think you know. I know you've been to Yankee Stadium. I asked Sal Majerana this question when he was on last segment. Do you like Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium? Like, you've been to a lot of, is it, some people tell me they think it's a little stale, just kind of a, you know, it's a baseball stadium. Some people say, no, it's Yankee Stadium. I love it.
It's not the Yankee Stadium, and I had gotten there once. The one time I was at the Yankee Stadium is that play at home plate where Carlton Fisk tagged out two Yankees. Coming around third, that was the game I was at. I mean, Harold Baines was in right field for the White Sox because the fans just brutalized him. I mean, I've never, up to that point in my life and since, heard anything like they said to Harold Baines.
Do you know the only game I ever attended at Old Yankee Stadium was the Subway Series when Clemens threw the bat at Piazza? That's the only game I ever went to at Old Yankee Stadium.
So we both went to famous games at Old Yankee Stadium. But the new one, I mean, I love it. I like it, but it's not you know, it's across the street from where the cathedral was. So it's great, but it's not the old Yankee Stadium.
Speaking of stadiums, obviously the Bills, the Sabres, the Bills are building one. The Sabres, there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen, you know, with their arena. And when I think about these two things, the Bills have all this technology for the draft that they use every year. The Sabres don't necessarily need it for draft night, but this year they do. So that's why they're going to the Bills facility. What can you tell us about this week and how all of this is going to work and why all this happened? Because a lot of people are asking me, why are the Sabres staying here? And I explained to them how the NFL draft works compared to the NHL. But what can you tell us about how all this week is going to work with the team?
Well, the NHL went out with a bang last year. They had the, you know, we would always gather in a central location, usually somebody's arena, but last year was at Sphere in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was so much fun. I mean, that was my first time to Sphere, and I can't even tell you how much fun it was. It was quite a spectacle. And now they decided, and a lot of it was owner-generated, that they don't want to pick up the whole operation. Everything they have, scouts, people, their data and everything, and have to transport it across country or across the, you know, across country lines if it's in Canada. So you know, the players will be at a central location in Los Angeles, kind of like the NFL is, but the teams are staying home. I have heard though Gary Bettman does not like this. I think he's getting to the point where he really doesn't care what the owners think about it. And I have heard this possibly could be a one-year thing, that we'll be back at a central location next year. I guess we'll just have to see how this works. They kind of have a little bit of an idea how it'll work because they did this during COVID. You know, it was a remote draft, but we weren't even there then. Everything was done by Zoom because it was in the middle of COVID. But a lot of people are saying, well, this is embarrassing to the Sabres, you know, because they can't hold it in their own building. From what I understand, the Sabres did not go to the Bills and said, can we come over here? It was more Pete Quelle saying, hey, guys, we've got this facility here. It's bigger than what you guys have at the arena. You want to come use it? That's the idea I get, is how this went down. And they went, yeah, okay, that'll be great. Well, come on. You know, thank you for offering. And so, you know, they could have done it in the arena. I mean, it probably would have been a little bit cramped having everybody there on their staff and everything else. But it wasn't like, you know, I don't think they were begging the Bills, could we come over and use their stuff?
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Generally, this week, when it comes to the NFL, I always want to kind of do it from both angles because I'm so familiar with how that draft week works and that draft process. Generally, this week is when the NFL teams finally set their board. It's when Brandon Bean says, okay, he tells one of his scouts, you play this team, you play that team. Let's go through a mock draft. What are the NHL teams doing right now? What are the Sabres doing right now this week leading up until Friday night?
You said it. You know, they're going through every different type of scenario. All right, if this happens, what's our response? If this happens, what's our response? You know, we're going to try to trade our pick. You know, what's going to happen if we do that? If we're able to do that, where might we be? Would we try to get back in the first round if we do trade our pick? You know, all different types. Be ready for anything. Just exactly like you described with the NFL. You know, if it happens, okay, fine, it happened. Now let's move on. And I remember when Murray, you know, when they traded Leonard, you know, and it happened almost last minute. We went over for our pre-draft press conference with him at his hotel the day of the draft. It's usually around 11 a.m. So we went over there at 11 a.m. I had just gotten back to my room and I got the call to go back. And that's when they made the Leonard trade. And that's when the scouts find out we're not making the pick. You know, you've done all this work. And Murray acknowledged that. He goes, you know, they understand this could happen, but it sucks for scouts because you just spent a whole year doing all that work and we just blew it up on you because we made a trade and we don't have a first-round pick, you know, type of a thing. So, you know, you just have to be ready to go with the flow, and things happen sometimes fast and furious, and you got to be ready to go.
Paul, what about on the ice, the players, I should say, roster management, the guys they already have here? Lots of rumors flying around. There have been many of them regarding J.J. Paterka. Where do you think, from your standpoint, this team stands on J.J. Paterka right now?
I don't think they want to trade him. I know who is – his agent is Alan Walsh, and Alan Walsh can be a little bit on the sleazy side. And if I had to take a wild guess, I think all this is coming from him. And – you know, as an agent, he may look at it, J.J. Paterka is going to get a much better contract if he's in a bigger market. You know, and I went back over J.J. Paterka's end-of-the-year press conference on locker cleanout day, and I heard absolutely nothing, zero, to indicate he was unhappy, to a point where he was talking about, you know, how what he wants to do to get better for this team and, you know, playing for Lindy Ruff. And how, you know, he enjoyed it. And unfortunately, the team didn't catch on to it till it was too late in the season. And I just there was just nothing there that would indicate whatsoever that he was unhappy. You know, so that doesn't mean he wasn't. I'm just saying, you know, listening to that, you know, I didn't think it was. So they're not required to trade J.J. Paterka, but you've heard Kevin Adams say it, and he still believes this. He's said it before many times. You know, he wants players that want to be in Buffalo. And if they don't want to be in Buffalo, they become former Sabres. So if Paterka, for whatever the reason is, has been staunch in, I don't want to be here, well, he's not going to be here then. Then, you know, they'll find a deal and make it. They don't have to make it. He's not unrestricted for a while. So, I mean, it's not like they have to trade him today or this year. But what you get in there, if you have a player that's extremely unhappy, I mean, then you're going to try to, you know, use him for a year or two. That usually doesn't work out real well. You know, so, you know, I think they're listening. I know they don't want to trade him. They want to come up with a deal and keep him a Buffalo Sabre. But if he's staunch on it, then, you know, there's probably a pretty good chance that he's going to be gone.
What if he does get signed to a contract? What does that look like for J.J. Paterka? If he stays here in Buffalo and signs a contract?
Yeah, it depends how many years. I mean, if you get an eight-year deal, you're probably talking in the $7 to $8 million range, I would think, somewhere in there. Now, the thing with J.J. Paterka, too, is that everybody has to realize, yes, he has scored 55 goals in the last 2 years, and he's a gifted goal scorer. But if you look at his analytic numbers, they are not good at all, especially defensively. I mean, the eye test would tell you he got a little better defensively. I don't think the numbers basically tell you that, or if they do, it's slightly better. But it's still not good enough. I mean, he still has to improve his defensive play quite a bit. So there are some that would tell you that the Sabres would be better off without him, you know, because of his poor analytic numbers, even though he does score goals. So, you know, there's a lot of different opinions that go that way as far as it goes with him. So, you know, if you're only talking about a two-year deal or something like that, no, he's not going to get that kind of money. But if he's going to lock himself up for 8 years, you know, it's going to be maybe a little bit higher than people might think.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, Bo Byram, totally different situation. We've talked about it. Not that he's unhappy in Buffalo, but he'd like a different role. He's also a restricted free agent. How do you think this plays out this week?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He never was moping around or anything like that. He, you know, he was in there. He always, you know, you're usually in a pretty good mood unless they just had a bad loss. And you know, he likes his teammates. I never got the impression he doesn't like the city or anything like that. But there's one problem. Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power are in his way, and he wants those roles. And, he, of course, with Makar in Colorado, he wasn't going to get those roles. And he's not going to play the power play unless there's an injury. Now, he will play some power play because it would be very unlikely that Dahlin and Power both would play 82 games. You're going to have injuries, which would slide Byram in there. If it were me, I would re-sign him as Rasmus Dahlin's partner. He plays extremely well, and the numbers will bear that out as Rasmus Dahlin's partner. And not even close to as well when he's with everybody else. Okay, why can't you sign him as Dahlin's partner? I don't understand why that can't be done. I know they need right-handed shooting defensemen, but Dahlin's fine on the right side. He's no problem playing over there. And numbers prove that out, that he has no problem playing over there. So unless Bo Byram would just say no. Now, I think he would be excited about having Rasmus Dahlin as his partner every game, but that doesn't solve the problem of he's not one of the top defensemen. He would be on the ice in top situations because he is Dahlin's partner, but he wouldn't be on the power play because, again, that's Dahlin in power. So is that enough for him, just being Dahlin's partner, or does he want more? So, but the thing is, it's not a situation where he wants out of Buffalo because he hates Buffalo or he hates Lindy Ruff or he hates his teammates or he hates whatever. That's not it. It's totally he wants to be a top defenseman on a team.
Paul, do you think the Sabres look to add a goaltender this week via trade? Or are they going to just look maybe after July 1st through the free agent market or maybe just stand pat?
Well, the free agent market isn't going. I think if you are looking for a goaltender, I think your first option is the best. Look for a trade. Mm-hmm. James Reimer loved it here. Now, James Reimer hasn't decided if he's going to retire or not. It's something that he wanted to, he talked about it at the end of the season, that he needs to sit down with his family and have some serious conversations. Kind of like Craig Anderson did. Remember, he kept going a little bit longer, but for maybe 2 years or maybe three, he kept saying, I don't know, we got to talk about it. Maybe it's time to retire. Then that time finally came. So if they sign James Reimer, he was great at the end of the season when they made him the number one goaltender, but what was that for, a month? I don't think he can be a number one goaltender at his age for the season if that's what's required, if Luukkonen and Levi – can't hack it. And I just don't think he's at a point in his career where he could do that. Now, if you're just going to go with Luukkonen no matter what, yeah, you can bring back James Reimer and he's going to be fine as far as playing when you need him to play and filling in when you need him to fill in. And he was quite a bit better than I thought he would be, to be quite honest. He only had a couple of bad starts all year long. But I think they, first of all, I know they told me, and a fan might say to me, and I would agree probably, what do you expect them to say when I ask, are you comfortable coming into the season with both Luukkonen and Levi, starting the year? Well, what are they going to say? No. I mean, they're not going to trash their two young goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Adams did say he'd be totally comfortable with it. He has to show those two confidence. And if he doesn't, how are they going to have confidence in themselves? So, but I wouldn't do that. I definitely wouldn't do that. So, yes, I would be looking for a goaltender in the trade market.
Paul's appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, every day and every hour, it seems like, Paul, there's another name that's surfacing on the market. Latest one for you, just before you came on, Trevor Zegras. According to Elliot Friedman, the Anaheim Ducks are in, quote, significant discussions with multiple teams on a Trevor Zegras trade. By the way, he also, the ninth overall pick in 2019, speaking of ninth overall pick, Trevor Zegras. Is that a player that would interest you if the Sabres went shopping for a little bit more offense?
Well, last time this came up, it was, well, how about Zegras for Cousins?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, the problem with Zegras is we're talking about another player that has regressed.
With injuries, too.
Does that mean at 24 years old, and he's not 25 till March, so for most of the season, we're talking about a 24-year-old guy who has now spent 4 years in the National Hockey League and 24 games coming out of Boston University after he came out of that, so he spent like half a season here. So let's say 4.5 years in the National Hockey League, and certainly the first 2 years were great. Both years, 23 goals, 61 points, 65 points, and then injuries put him down to 31 games. But in those 31 games, he only had 15 points, which is around 40 over a season. And then last year, he only had 32 points in 57 games. So it's been a drastic I, especially in the spot the Sabres in are right now, I would really have a lot of caution in trading for somebody who's in regression, even though he has the ability to be a great hockey player. There's too much of that on this roster, and I don't know if I'd want to bring in – it would be almost like taking a flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, this guy could be a great hockey player. Look at what he did his first two full seasons in the NHL, 61 and 65 points. The sky's the limit. True. But for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs 14 years, do you want to take that chance? I'd have to think long and hard about it.
Yeah, and you know, when a name like that comes up, you know, you get people, okay, well, there's, you know, J.J. Paterka, and I'm like, I don't know if you're really that, to me, that's cousins for Norris in a lot of ways, which is you're betting on the guy staying healthy and hitting that ceiling versus, yes, a disappointing player in Cousins, but who has also been reliable and in the lineup. And in Paterka's case, you know, obviously more upside even offensively than Cousins. So nothing that I wouldn't be interested in shipping him off in a deal like that, if that makes sense. I don't think you're getting better that way.
Yeah, and that moves Kulik over to the wing if you trade for him. I'd like mm-hmm. to keep Kulik at center. Mm-hmm. He was so much better last year. And that happened in the AHL, too, the year before. He was so much better when he played center than when he played the wing. I'm not interested in moving Kulik. I mean, right now your top three centers are Kulik, Norris, and McLeod. I think McLeod is excellent as your number three center. I think he can do so much. He had, you know, a breakout year in goals, assists, and points. So, you know, I don't know if I'd be real excited to move Kulik over to the wing to accommodate that. Yeah, so it's just something that I guess you could say it depends on the price, but I just don't know if I'd do it.
Has anything happened, or is there any names out there that you're kind of interested in or surprised you over in the NHL overall the last, I don't know, weekend? There's just kind of been some names out there. There's been some moves already made. Anything that's kind of caught you a little bit?
Yeah, it's a lot of this, some of that chatter, that's the thing in the NHL. Most of what you hear doesn't happen.
Right. And I think a lot of it is from the agents too, right? They're trying to get
traction. That's what I was talking about earlier with Alan Walsh.
Yep.
And I just believe in my heart that that's where this Paterka stuff is coming from.
Yep.
I don't know if it's – because he even said in his interview that when we ask about the contract, he goes, well, that's not my thing. He goes, that's totally my agent. My agent is in charge of that. That's mm-hmm. what he's – that's his job. So mm-hmm. that's another reason why it's in my head that a lot of the stuff you're seeing out there is Alan Walsh generated. So, you know, it's still you know, it's looking like, you know, when we talk about unrestricted free agents, it looks like Sam Bennett will stay in Florida, according to Sam Bennett.
Yep.
And it looks like, you know, maybe Ekblad's going to have to go. They can't keep everybody. I mean, that's when you win the cup. I mean, remember when the Blackhawks had to reload? I mean, they won the mm-hmm. cup and they had to let some guys go. It worked okay. They figured it out because they won three cups over there when their window was open. But they you know, they had to figure it out because you're going to lose some guys along the way. So, I mean, if I were the Sabres, I would be preparing right now for an offer for Ekblad, that because you're only really going to get one chance to get in front of him and impress him. I remember with Stamkos, everybody got one chance to meet with Stamkos, and you had to fly to some certain area to go meet with him. I don't remember where it was, and it was like team after team after team got in front of Stamkos and his agent. Now, as it turned out, Stamkos re-signed with Tampa Bay before free agency started, so it was kind of a waste of time. But the Sabres were involved in that. They went and made their presentation to Stamkos, and you know, they have to be ready to do that with Ekblad because, you know, they'll probably listen, but I don't think you're going to get multiple opportunities. So better be ready to go when that chance comes.
All right, Paul, I am sure this is not the last time we'll talk this week. The draft begins on Friday night, so we'll talk later down the road and down the line. I know you got some stuff going on tomorrow and every day this week when it comes to the Sabres, but we'll be in touch and we'll hear from you again. Thanks
for doing tomorrow, this Kevin Adams will be speaking along with the assistant GM and the guy who does all, you know, is in charge of the amateur scouting, Jerry Fortin. So We will
Is that happening tomorrow? Do we know that for sure?
Yes, that is happening tomorrow, and I will be down at the stadium for that. I believe it's happening during your show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's good, because I will plan on carrying that then, and we'll chat about it, so I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
My calendar is a little too far away. I believe it's 11 o'clock, but I'm going by memory, and you know sometimes that's dangerous.
I think so. That's what I saw today, but I didn't want to put you on the spot and confirm it because I didn't know, but I appreciate you doing that.
Yes, it is happening.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, that is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. When we come back, we have a superstar, right? I think you call him a superstar, in one sport, trying his hand at something else that you think he'd be really, really good at that didn't work out in another sport. And I don't know if you saw this video, but I'll explain when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, we got to talk about this Joe Burrow video. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you haven't, you need to go find it. So what happened was, I told you went to Fanatics Fest this weekend. I did not see this happen. I wasn't there at the time. I don't even know what part it was. The thing was so massive. Anyway, so Joe Burrow, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, was... He was there, and he went into the, like, MLB pitching cage, basically. And there is a video, and people were taking video behind Joe Burrow throwing, trying to hit a target. So imagine you're in, you know, a pitching cage. You go to the batting cages, right? And you step in the batting cage, you try to hit the softball or the baseball. This one's a pitching one. We've all done this at games. You go to carnivals. Okay, if you can throw it and you hit the target, you win something, right? Whatever. He can only be, I would say it looks like he's only about 30, 40 feet away. I mean, I think based on, you know, Little League fields that I'm aware of, it looks about that maybe. So I'd say about 40 feet away. I don't know. They know the exact distance. And he's on like a makeshift pitching mound, but it's not that high. He's just kind of, you know, there standing on it. He starts to throw the ball. And I counted 8 pitches. And he hit the target twice, and once wasn't even really a hit. It hit the top of it. So really, 1 out of 8, And the one was very much like in the top left corner, and it just kind of grazed it, but it hit it. But the point is, like, every other throw was so bad. So bad. The first throw he has, I'm going to watch this again. The first throw he has is straight out of a, like, almost like he threw it away intentionally. Imagine, I mean, you ever see the movie Bull Durham, Josh? You ever see the movie Bull Durham?
Yep, yeah. Great movie.
And they intentionally hit the bull? Do you remember that? He says to me, I'll pay you if you hit the bull, right?
Yep.
He throws it at the mascot who's like doesn't know what's going on, and the bull gets hit and goes down. This looks like that throw, although it's a little shorter. It's not over it, but that's how wild it is. I mean, I'm reading comments about, like, oh yeah, Ricky Vaughn, wild thing. I'm also reading comments like, there's no way this is real. This has got to be a bit, right? Because that's where I'm thinking. Now, I have to be honest with you here. I get that it is not easy for a lot of people who are great at one thing, even if you're an athlete, to do something else. Like, come on, right? But Joe Burrow's a quarterback. He's throwing a baseball here. I don't expect him to hit the strike zone every time. But he's so far off. I actually thought, like, is this real? Is this a joke? I'm not trying to make fun of the guy. I just want to understand, to be quite honest with you. Did you see all these throws?
Yeah. So, Sal, while we were in break, I have been breaking this down frame by frame. I've been watching in slow motion all of these throws because it's
okay.
It's interesting to me. Like, it's a quarterback, an NFL quarterback. Like you were just saying, like, you'd think he could be accurate. I'm comparing this side by side to Shohei Ohtani. Now, granted, that's a big jump there, right? I mean, Shohei Ohtani is a great pitcher, and he's starting to come back from his injury and everything. But when I look at Burrow, until he releases the ball, every bit of his motion is like he's throwing a football. It's like he's never thrown a baseball before in his life. Now, I don't know if he has or hasn't. I don't know if he ever played baseball, like, growing up or anything like that. But the way he is throwing this ball, every bit of it on the very first throw, every bit of it is an NFL quarterback football throw until he releases it. And you can even, it's hard to tell because it gets a little blurry in terms of the image, but even when he's releasing the ball, it looks like he's releasing it like a football. Every part of his body is pushing that ball to the left because naturally, when he's throwing a football, that helps the spiral, that helps it get the spin, and it'll go in the direction he wants it. But with the baseball, it's a different shape and everything like that. So it's really interesting, like, looking at it side by side to an MLB pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I'm looking at Ohtani's throw right now, and when he is releasing, his arm is at, like, a 90-degree angle. When Burrow is releasing, his arm is almost, it's like, straightening out. It's not even
okay,
close to
I don't disagree with any of that. Like, the motion is different, right? Like, I get that. I totally get that. What I can't wrap my head around is how, as an athlete who throws a ball for a living, can you not adjust a little bit?
Well, and you can tell that as the video goes on, he does adjust. Like, by his last throw,
not
does
that great.
Paper. No, right. But he does.
He throws eight pitches, and one of them actually hits it, like, and not even in a good spot.
Right. But at the same time, he does adjust eventually. So you wonder how many times it would have taken him. But, like, you'd think that it would take, like, four or five, not eight or nine. Like, it's kind of, like, almost like he just doesn't know how else to throw a ball. And that's why I'm thinking, like, has he ever thrown a baseball before?
That's what I wonder. And I guess part of me just wonders then, really, like, has he never thrown a baseball in his life? Because he looks like he's never thrown a baseball in his life. And that's all well and good. But I'm stunned if that's the case. And I would never have thought anything like that. Like, if you had told me, like, Joe Burrow, I would say, yeah, he probably was a really good high school pitcher. I went and looked up his LSU bio, okay? Because that's where you can find, by the way, when guys have, if you want to know more about a guy, it's not just a Wikipedia page. Go to their college bios, and they'll tell you all about their high school years, like, before they came there. Does not say anything about playing baseball. But he was a standout point guard on the basketball team, turning down several mid-major offers to play college basketball. First team All-State point guard as a senior. So here we have an all-state high school point guard who set total records in football, could have played college basketball, goes on to play college football and becomes one of the best NFL players. One is shooting a ball, one is throwing a ball, but yet you put a baseball in his hand and he can't even come close to a target and looks like a guy who's never done it in his entire life. He's never played catch?
Right.
I got to find out.
Oh, I did just find out an article from the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Okay.
Burrow starred in football and basketball at Athens High School, but stopped playing baseball when he was younger. It doesn't specify when, but it just says younger. So I'm assuming he probably stopped like just before high school or maybe like in high school to focus on the other sports. I don't know, but it says that he used to play as a kid, but then stopped. So
yeah, I totally get like the part. There's two things here. Number one is, okay, he's not going to be good at throwing a baseball. That can happen. He throws a football for a living. It's a different motion. He's used to doing that all the time. But the other part is, he's a world-class athlete at throwing a ball. It's a baseball, right? Like, and it's so bad. It's not like it's just a little off. It's so bad. I need people to go watch this and give me answers. I'm fascinated by it. I really am. I'll tell you, part of this, too, is, what's crazy when I think about this, Josh, is, so David Cohn, do you know who David Cohn is? David Cohn was a really good pitcher back in the 80s, 90s for the Mets, the Royals, Yankees. And now he's a broadcaster for the Yankees and on MLB, for MLB games nationally. And my son is a pitcher. He's 11 years old. He's a pitcher. And he's not great, but he's a pretty good pitcher. He throws pretty hard for his age. And you don't want to like hurt, I don't want to hurt his arm in the winter. I'm not like that, like overthrowing him. I just want him to kind of make sure he's doing everything right. But we also play a lot of other sports. And I got this idea from David Cohn. David Cohn said one time, all pitchers should throw a football to warm up. He actually said that. He said all pitchers should throw a football to warm up. He said because it will really translate for you well, the way your torque is and your shoulder and all that. So I think about that and go, wait a minute. Like, I think about that, and that's what my son does, and I encourage younger people to do that. If you're a pitcher, I think you should throw a football in the winter a little bit more, kind of keep your arm going, but you're not ruining your arm. And I think about the transition from the two sports, and how can Joe Burrow be so bad at throwing a baseball like that?
Does this have anything to do with his injury that he got, do you think? This is probably not, right?
I don't know. But, maybe.
But you never know. I mean, it is a different throwing motion, and maybe it, I don't know. That's just something I just thought of too. Like, cause when I'm watching this too, like there's another, the first video I watched was more of like a side angle. This one I'm watching right now is directly behind him. And he's almost like side arming some of these. Like he's coming way over to the side.
No. You know what I see? And you broke it down. He holds onto the ball too long.
Yep. Yeah.
So the reason the ball is going so far left, he's right-handed, he's coming down and the ball goes kind of down left almost to like, I'd say like 7 o'clock, right? To me, he's releasing the ball way too far in front of him. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I know I've spent 12 minutes on this. I'm fascinated by it. I am not making fun of Joe Burrow. I'm sure a lot of people are today. I just want to understand how this guy can be that bad at throwing a baseball. I honestly, like, that's where I'm at with it. I am terrible at a lot of things, believe me, okay? I can't draw anything. I draw stick figures. I'm terrible at sport. I'm not a good basketball player. Like, I can go kind of shoot a couple three-pointers here and there, but believe me, you play basketball with me, like, I'm not the guy you necessarily need. I'll defend some people, right? Like, I'm not good at certain things. So this is not me saying, oh my God, like, I'm so much better at throwing something than Joe Burrow. He's a world-class athlete. I get that you could be bad at something. I'm bad at a lot of things in life. I just don't understand how he's bad at this. That's where I'm coming from. All right, go find the video. Tell me what you think. 803-0550. I might tweet it out, too. All right, help me understand here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Last night was a weird moment on social media for me. Twitter especially, I guess I should say, not social. So, you know, were you watching the game last night when Halliburton got hurt, Josh?
I tuned in right after the injury happened, not knowing that the injury happened. Like, I was just like, oh, let's just throw on the game, see what happened. And as I turned it on, they're showing the replay, and I was like, oh, all right.
Were you on social media at all before
that? Nope. Right before it happened. I like walked in the door, and I was just like, hey, let's throw on the game, just started, you know. And I was just like, all right, okay. Let's see what's up. and
okay, so you're a good you're a good person. You're a good person for me to ask you this question then, okay? It could be a whole show we could do on this, but we only have 2 minutes here. If you just read me, if you if last night you saw a tweet come across your timeline from Sal Capaccio that wrote terrible, unbelievable, what would you think?
Knowing what was going on last night?
Nope.
Wait.
You do know there? I would assume you'd know there's a game seven happening.
Right. I was going to say. But, so I mean, that, not, that's all I know is that there's a game seven happening between the Pacers and Thunder. I would have immediately assumed, like, oh, Halliburton just got hurt. Like that.
That's all I wrote. I wrote two words: terrible. Hold on. Terrible. Unbelievable. And I had people like really mad at me for because they had no idea what was happening and I didn't write it in context. And I'm like, okay, well maybe it's me. And I looked. And I went through, you ready? Anthony Marino, Matt Verderam, Sneaky Joe, John Ledyard, Bomani Jones, Adam Schein, Pat McAfee, Boston Connor. Every single one of them in a row. I put a screenshot up. None of them put it in context. They literally wrote, hate to see it. Damn, that's awful. No. Oh, no. Damn. Oh, no, 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 no. Man, and that's awful. Like, isn't this kind of what you do when you're watching games?
Right, yeah. You, like, you tweet during the game because it's... it's what's happening, especially if it's a game seven of that magnitude. Sure, you might not be a basketball fan, but you're watching. Like, I'm not a basketball fan, but I was tuned in. Like, I knew what was going on.
I mean, people were mad at me. Like, I can't believe you didn't explain what's happening. Like, you need me to tell you how somebody got hurt? Like, I'm watching the game in real time. There's a game seven going on. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm kind of questioning it myself now. Like, right? Am I really that much of a jerk?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's completely normal.
Okay. Just want to make sure. All right, well, tomorrow we're going to hear from Kevin Adams, Sabres brass, on the draft upcoming. We'll do that during the Extra Point Show at 11 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live show up in the Bulldog after that on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.